I opened the beveled glass door under the sign announcing Tiffany Glass and Decorating Company in ornate bronze. A new sign with a new name. Fine. I felt new, too. In the ground floor showroom of the five-story building, stained glass windows hung from the high ceiling, and large mosaic panels leaned against the walls. Despite the urgency of my business, I couldn't resist taking a quick look at the free-form vases, bronze desk sets, pendulum clocks, and Art Nouveau candelabras. It was the oil lamps that bothered me. Their blown glass shades sat above squat, bulbous bases too earthbound to be elegant. Mr. Tiffany was capable of more grace than that. A new young floor manager tried to stop me at the marble stairway. I gave him a look that implied, "I was here before you were born," and pushed his arm away as though it were a Coney Island turnstile. On the second floor, I peered into Mr. Tiffany's large office studio. With a gardenia pinned to his lapel, he sat at his desk behind a row of potted orchids. In February, no less. Such were the extravagances of wealth. His formerly trim bottle brush of a mustache had sprouted into robust ram's horns. His own paintings hung on the walls. Citadel Mosque of Old Cairo, with tall, slender minarets, and Market Day at Tangier, with a high tower on a distant hill. A new one depicted a lily on a tall stalk lording over a much shorter one. Amusing. Little Napoleon's self-conscious preoccupation with height was alive and well. New tall pedestals draped with Bedouin shawls flanked the fireplace. On them, oriental vases held peacock feathers. In this, his design sense went awry, sacrificed to his flamboyancy. If he wanted to appear taller, the pedestals should have been shorter. Someday I would tell him. "Excuse me."
"Why, Miss Wolcott?"
"Mrs. Driscoll. I got married, you remember."
"Oh, yes. You can't be wanting employment, then. My policy hasn't..."
I pulled back my shoulders. "As of 2 weeks ago, I'm a single woman again." He was too much the gentleman to ask questions, but he couldn't hide the gleam in his eyes. "I've come to inquire if you have work for me. That is, if my performance pleased you before." A deliberate prompt. I didn't want to be hired because of my need or his kindness. I wanted my talent to be the reason he wanted me back.
"Indeed,"
was all he offered. What now to fill the suspended moment? His new projects. I asked. His eyebrows leapt up in symmetrical curves.
"A Byzantine chapel for the World's Columbian Exposition in Chicago next year. 4 times bigger than the Paris Exposition Universelle. It will be the greatest assembly of artists since the 15th century.
He counted on his fingers and then drummed them on the desk.
"Only 15 months away. In 1893, the name of Louis Comfort Tiffany will be on the lips of millions."
He stood up and swung open his arms, wide enough to embrace the whole world. I sensed his open palm somewhere in the air behind the small of my back, ushering me to his massive carved mahogany exhibit table to see his sketches and watercolors.
"2 round windows, the Infancy of Christ and Botticelli's Madonna and Child, will be set off by a dozen scenic side windows."
A huge undertaking. How richly fortunate! Surely there would be opportunity for me to shine. Practically hopping from side to side, he made a show of slinging down one large watercolor after another onto the Persian carpet, each one a precise,
fine-edged rendering of what he wanted the window to be.
Gracious! You've been on fire!
Go slower. Give me a chance to admire each one. He unrolled the largest watercolor.
An 8-foot mosaic behind the altar depicting a pair of peacocks surrounded by grapevines.
My breath whistled between my open lips. Above the peacocks facing each other, he had transformed the standard Christian icon of a crown of thorns into a shimmering regal headdress for God the King, the thorns replaced by large glass jewels in true Tiffany style.